guys, welcome. Welcome to the first breakout session of the Sin Network Gathering. We're so thankful that you're here. My name is Rivers Parton, and I serve on the Spouse Development Team at the Sin Network, and it's such a joy for me to get to be here. It's actually my very first time coming to Canada. So, you guys have been so welcoming, and I've just loved it and really appreciated being with you. I have the great privilege of introducing you to Kimberly McGibbon. A lot of you know her because she has a wide impact in the whole country, really, of Canada with church planting women. So we're really grateful today to get to hear from Kimberly about how to cultivate a healthy soul. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the title of this breakout, it hits really deeply for me, and I'm sure it does for you too, after the multiple years that we're coming off of, and just thinking, man, I want to be a type of person who has a healthy soul and know those skills and ways to cultivate and keep that health in order to pour out. And so I'm super excited to get to be in here today with you as well. Kimberly and Jason have been a church, part of church planting for a very long time. Kimberly is the spouse care advocate here in Toronto, and they have been in Toronto for 20 years, which I think is so cool. So please help me welcome Kimberly. Kimberly's going to have three ladies join her later for a panel, and she'll introduce them when they come. But let me pray for you, Kimberly, and pray for our time together before we get started. Father, we are grateful to be here with one another, to be sitting in your presence, and to be taking this time and this space to intentionally be encouraged and poured into by your daughter, Kimberly. And Lord, we pray that this time would help direct our hearts towards you, that our souls would be filled during this time from your word and from Kimberly and the wisdom that you've given her. God, you are gracious and kind to us, and we are so thankful to get to be here today. It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Cool.
Well, I gotta be honest, I apologize for my voice. It doesn't usually sound like this. I have a little bit of a laryngitis, and I'll try to be hard to get all the way through this. And I'm just going to pretend that we're in my living room, because I have to be honest, I'm not a speaker. But I love to have women over to my living room, so I'm just going to pretend we're all just kind of sitting around having tea and that kind of thing. And so this is, when Kathy Litton asked me if I would do this session on cultivating a healthy soul, I was like, okay. And so, and then I was thinking, you know what? I know exactly what I want to talk about. There's like three things for me, and I'm just going to share for me what has been really impactful and what I've learned over my years of church planting. Mm-hmm. So, the three things that I think are we need to rest. Mm-hmm. We need to rest. We need daily time with God. And we also need each other. And so we need a family of sisters around us that also know what it's like to church plant. And so I think we all know that church planting is hard. Like, you only have to be at church planting for about 5 minutes, and then you figure it out really fast. Like, it's kind of like a roller coaster of emotions and things that happen. Like, you're going along really good. Ooh, this is awesome. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, that is a lot. And then you're making a sharp turn that you did not know was coming, right? And so I think it's daunting. And sometimes there just feels like there's so much work, and there's so much to do. And I learned a secret, I think, over the 20 years. It just seems like the work is never ending, and the secret is the work is never ending. But it's not ours to complete, right? It's God's. And so I think sometimes we forget, in the midst of all of this, that God commands us to rest. And I know that I have forgotten many times over this journey that He wants us to rest. And so the topic of rest is talked about frequently in Scripture, and so I'm going to have some that come up. It's there at the beginning in Genesis 2:2, 2 to 3, you know, God creates everything in the world for 6 days, and then he rests, right? And he made that day holy. And in the Old Testament law, we see it again. You know, in Exodus 23:12, Israel is instructed to work for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, everyone, including the animals and the servants and any visitors, should rest so that you will feel refreshed, right? So that you will feel refreshed. And this was the one that has been the most impactful on my life. Jesus gives us an invitation to rest. It's not just like Jesus. He's never pushy. He just invites us, right? And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. You know, I remember Jason telling me, we were sitting in a coffee shop, and he was talking to me about using this scripture for our family devotional time. And, you know, he's got lots of plans and stuff. He's very excited. And he, you know, had read this scripture, and like the tears just start leaking out the sides of my eyes. And like, my husband is like, what did I do? And I would like to, at this point in the story, like I have 3 kids. And then I have a baby on the way. I'm working full time. We're leaving our church that we absolutely love to go and plant another church. And, you know, I didn't know what was wrong with me. Like, to be honest, I want to tell you that I was like really self-aware. Like, you know how you like want to get up here in front of all these people and you want to be like, I was so self-aware. I just told my husband, I'm so overwhelmed. I had no idea. But my eyes could not stop leaking. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And it took me a while to get there. So, but God knew, and God knows that we need rest, right? And it's more of a command, more than just a command that he's made. Rest is something that he knows that we desperately need. And one time I was reading 1 Kings 9:3-9, and it's that passage in 1 Kings about Elijah. And Elijah is on the run, and he's afraid, right? He's been given a good job to do, and the guy like turns tail, like he's like, this is hard, and I might get killed. And so he turns and he runs. And then he's beating himself up, right? And at this point in the story, like, he's so upset with himself, like he just wants to die. And I just read this, and all I could think about was God's reaction. God is so gracious in this moment, because he doesn't turn, you know, to Elijah and say, dude, what are you doing? Get going, I gave you an assignment. He doesn't, he lets Elijah rest. Elijah sleeps. And then our God is so cool that he goes and he sends an angel to Elijah and he gives him water and food. Like, that is the same God that sees you. So I don't know how you came in here, but if you came in and you're like overwhelmed or you don't know what is wrong with you, like I was at that point, we have a God that is so amazing and knows and sees your overwhelm. He knows your weaknesses and he wants you to rest. Another thing that I've kind of learned about rest is that when we don't rest, we kind of rob ourselves of the opportunity that God gives us to see his provision, right? You know how in that passage, like Elijah doesn't do anything for the food and water, right? God gives it, God provides it. And so it's really countercultural, I think, in our society right now to rest for an entire day, right? Everything about our world is like busy, busy, busy. And like, I totally, when people say, hey, how's it going? And you're like, oh, I'm so busy. Yeah. Right? And like, just everything, we wear it like a badge of honor. And I think, I know that I've done this where I love Jesus, but I think I bought into the lie that I needed to hustle my way and make the most of every moment of time that God gave me on this earth for him. And he doesn't ask us to do that, actually, right? And so sometimes you can get into the cycle of pushing yourself day after day, and we're not following his example of working and then rest. A total ceasing of striving, right? When was the last time you just ceased striving for 24 hours? For women, it's hard to do, I think. We're not very good at it because there's always somebody that needs something, right? But I want you to know that church planting is not a short sprint. It is a long spiritual endeavor, and it requires that we trust in God's timing, that we trust in his goodness, that we trust in his provision, and that if we want to stay healthy and be able to join him in his work, we need to rest. Second thing that I think I've learned along the way that it, to nurture my own soul is that we need a daily time with God. And it's just a time of slowing down and meeting with him. You know, the psalmist had this in mind, I think, when he wrote, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Psalm 42, 1 to 2. And there have been times in my life where I've rushed that devotional because, like, to be honest, I had 4 kids. And, like, just keeping them alive is a big to-do list. Like, no, like, it is. Especially when you have boys and stuff, like, they, you know, you gotta keep an eye on those guys. And so, they're just, when they're younger, the sleep is just so elusive, right? And they never wanted to sleep at the same time. And I was like, people, work with me, you know? But they didn't. And so, I know, looking back on those times, that my soul was thirsty, right? And if I could do it again, I would probably try to figure out more of a way with Jason to, like, find more time that I could have spent with God. You know, Jesus' example was to go off by himself and meet with the Father. Very early in the morning, he would go off while it was still dark, and he would make his way up to a deserted place and he would pray there. If anybody had a big to-do list, it was Jesus. He had 3 years. That, like, I can't even imagine that. When I think about it, I have to just stop, right? That's a big to-do list. He had a lot of stuff to accomplish in that 3 years, but he knew he couldn't do any of it if he wasn't connected to the Father. So as I've gotten older, I've realized that I read shorter chunks of scripture in my daily devotional time, but I spend a lot more time meditating on scriptures. And it's probably because there's an author, Pete Scazzaro. He wrote the Emotional Healthy Woman, Emotional Healthy Church. So I saw one time I read a quote from him that said, "When we are silent, we come face to face with our addiction to be in control and always trying to fix things." I don't know about you, but that sounded a lot like me. Yeah. And so I was like, oh man. So I decided, you know what? I'm gonna try to be silent before the Lord. And I was terrible at it. Like, really, really bad. So many things would be popping into my head because I'm constantly thinking about, you know, some, you know, one kid's needs this or another kid needs that, or my husband needs this or the church needs that. And it was hard for me to really just sit and be silent and not try to do all the things, right? Because I think as women we see that, like, we are the doer of all the things. Right? And so the more I practiced, the longer it got. And it took a while. But now, like, it's the best part of my devotional time. And it has changed the way that I can function on a daily basis. And finally, I think our quiet time is important because it pleases the Lord. I can always tell how my heart is doing and how my relationship with Jesus is by my willingness to spend time with him, not for what it gets for me, but just because I know it pleases him. And so, remember when I was telling you about my reaction in the coffee shop and my poor husband who was like, what have I done? Well, I had known that scripture for a long time, but it wasn't until I really spent time in silence, really meditated on it, that I realized that when I heard, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, I could repeat that, like I have the scripture memorized, but I functioned like this. Take my yoke upon you and do all the things you see. And that's not what God asked us to do. That's not what the scripture says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Right? But I would just always think about all the things that needed to get done. I could see them, you know. And I realized sitting there with Jesus that at the center of these things was really my need to perform and really my fear that maybe I wasn't quite good enough. And I think I only got there because I quieted my life enough that I could hear what it was that he was trying to tell me. And so my focus is never supposed to be on all the things. My focus was supposed to be on learning from Jesus, his example and his rhythm and his way of doing things, and my identity not in my performance, but just solely in him. And the final thing that I think I really believe has been essential to my soul and cultivating it to be healthy on an ongoing basis is that we made it a priority to be in community with other church planters. And, you know, you and your husbands and myself, we're on the front line bringing the gospel to Jesus, to your next door neighbor, to your community, to your city. And not only on your front lines, you're behind enemy lines, right? And so we need one another. It's important for us to gather to encourage one another. It's important for us to gather. I've learned so much from other pastors' wives, like, you know, I'm not sure that I would be here sometimes if it wasn't for them. And when we work together, when we pray together, when we learn one another's hearts by praying together, when we read and we look at scripture together, when we're just dead honest about where we are, about, you know, if we're in a good place and we have something to celebrate, like, it's exciting when we get to celebrate. But the places where I've needed it the most is when I haven't wanted to and I've been dead, like just really dead honest and authentic about when I was in a not so good place. Or I was disappointed about something or I felt like God had kind of let me down. Because that can happen in church planting. You have expectations of how things are gonna go. It's just us, it's human nature, right? Our husbands make these great plans, you know, and we get all excited, and sometimes it doesn't go the way, in fact, lots of times, most maybe, it doesn't go the way that we originally thought. And so I know that everyone here at the Send Network doesn't want your family just to survive church planting. When you came in today, I don't know if some of you came to the ladies get together before, like when people came up to you and said, hey, how are you? Or even in the hallway, when people are saying, hey, how are you? How are you? And people are asking you, like, you know, what's happening? What's going on? How did that feel? Those people aren't asking just to be nice. I've never met anyone here that didn't really care about church planters and their families. They really want the best for you. And so, you know, some of you like me have been around for a long time, and but there's a lot of people that are new. You know, one of the amazing things about, I don't know all the statistics from across the country, but in Toronto, since like the world shut down in 2020, but Toronto, like we kept assessing online. We have 27 new church planters and families here since 2020, 27. Our God did not stop. He keeps working, right? It, like that to me is amazing. When you think about what's happened over the last couple of years. So you might be new here, you might not. You might have been here 2 years ago and this is the first time you're getting to meet people in person instead of a little tiny square box. But if you've been around for a while, you know, like Andrew Lammy always says, and lots of people say it around here, isolation kills. It kills planters, it kills marriages, it kills wives and church plants. And honestly, I've just seen it happen so many times that I think it's one of the most effective schemes that the enemy has. We have to remember that the enemy is somebody who seeks to kill and destroy, right? And if you've ever watched a National Geographic video, those lions, right? They separate one from the herd. That's how they do it. And I just think the enemy's doing the same thing. And you can't let it happen. And so it really makes it, you making it a priority, right? I love that one of the values of Send Network is being family. I spent the last week with Charisma, of just like, not physically with her, but just sending her scriptures every day and sending her prayers and wanting to be with her, but you know, not being allowed. There's just something that is amazing about when we're going through hard times, or even when we're going through good times, about doing it together. And you just need somebody in those moments. Like somebody that's not gonna judge you about, you know, what you're saying, but somebody who is gonna point you back to Jesus if you get off track. And I look around this room and I'm so lucky to have women in this room that will be like, Sister Kim. Come on, girl. You know, but that doesn't come easily. You know, the Send has an ebook that's on our values, and I don't know if you've ever read it. But I'm into that kind of thing, and so you know, it talks about our value of family, and it does it in a way that's always kind of stuck with me. It says we don't find this family by looking for it. We find this kind of family by building it, by being it, by bolstering it. We have to be willing to invest the necessary time and resources, and this is the vulnerability for deep fostering, for deep authentic relationships with one another. This type of life-giving gospel community is totally possible, but it takes all of us working together to make it happen. And so I get to invite three of my friends up to come, because we didn't want you to just hear about my story of things that have helped me along the way to cultivate my soul, but these ladies are free fun. And so I wanted you guys to hear from them as well. So come on up and I'll introduce them. We have, I'll start with Laura. Laura Christofferson. I've known Laura for a long time. Laura, Jeff and Laura's church in Oakville was the first church plant that I went to. And I went when it was their very first preview service, and I was the scout to make sure they were legit. That's some weird kind of cult thing. And so, so I've been very lucky to have her in my life for, yeah, long, long time. But we're very young, aren't we, Laura?
Oh, extremely.
Yeah, this is ours.
We met when we were 8.
Yes, we were. And then, Andre, you know? And so, about when did you guys get here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 years ago.
Okay, so we've known each other pretty much for 10 years. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so it's been a lot of fun of hanging out and also just being able to like pray with one another and doing assessments together and seeing growth, and it's just, yeah. And BG, you guys have been here for how long? Yeah. And so BG's taught me lots of things, and Kesavan, but her husband is the one that spoke in the opening service, and both of them are just amazing people to get to know. I'm really rock solid. So I have some questions that I'm gonna ask you guys. So when we talk about rest, maybe we'll start with BG. What is your Sabbath routine like, and how did you get it established? And was there a season that it looked different, and how did you find rest in the busyness?
Okay, confession, I don't have a routine because I'm spontaneous by nature, and I've learned that rest really is not about me time and having my routine, the things that I want to do. But if you look at really what rest is for a believer, Christ is our Sabbath, that He is my rest. So developing a routine kind of takes on a different meaning. And so it does look different in different seasons. So when we started the church plant, it does mean that you're wearing multiple hats and you don't have a day of rest. So how do you build it in to the week, to the month, and to really lean on that His grace is sufficient for me when I am called to work like an ant, because that is a calling too. And the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:10 has come to mean a lot to me, where Paul says this, 1:15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. So, in recognizing that Christ is my rest, as long as I'm working for Him, I find that even in my work, I can rest. But with the world, even if you're resting, you're still working, because your soul, your mind, and your body's not at rest. So having said that, we do intentionally take time, and that is daily. So one of the routines we have daily is to have a cup of tea and dessert every single day. Sometimes it's at 11:30 at night. But that is for us to have time together to reflect, to take time to pray, and to make sure that we have that. So it's not the number of hours, or it is really just that moment for me, and finding time to step away, like those fishing expeditions that Christ had, when Christ allows for it to enjoy that time with family, with friends, co-believers, you know, and fellow workers. So really, just trusting God that He does provide those moments like He did for Elijah, and letting Him be the provider, how that rest looks like. And it looks different each day.
That's great. Laura, would you like to share about that one too?
Well, to be honest with you, to be honest with you, I thought rest was lazy. And that was the attitude in my heart, and it took me till a couple years ago when we did the pipeline. to kind of wake up to that and realize that it's just been an area of sin of my in my life, mm-hmm. the control thing, wanting to make sure everybody was happy all the time, mm-hmm. and yeah, it's a control thing. And so God has really challenged me more recently to be more resting. And even in this very season right now, I am in my second week of resting my brain, and I don't know how else to explain that. I've had a hard time getting back from COVID for a bunch of different reasons. I really have. I've been very disoriented and confused. Like, what is my problem? I've been waiting for this. Anyway, long story. I was convicted during a message a couple weeks ago and within our small group, the conversation of praying constantly. And I thought, yeah, I used to do that. And I used to sing a lot, like in my head, to myself, and to God. But I thought, that's all gone away. Like, where has it gone? And this has been going on for a couple of months, and God just kind of revealed to me in the last little while, like, I've not taken time to pray because I filled my brain with Sudoku, yeah. audiobooks. Not that those things are bad, but those were my escape. And it started filling my brain and filling my brain like every spare minute, or to go to sleep at night or whatever, or I don't know, I was just doing it constantly. And God challenged me, like, you need to stop and make some space here. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a Sabbath, and it's been so renewing to me. Like, this morning, in my quiet time, it's like, wow, God, my joy's coming back. Mm-hmm. And, so this whole question and Sabbath and renewal, like Kay Savin was talking, is, like, very real to me right now. Mm-hmm. And I just thanking God for his mercies, mm-hmm. to walk with us and to reveal these things to me, which seem to be so simple, but for some reason, it's hard for me to understand sometimes.
That's great. So, let's see. Oh, Lori. Okay. Maybe I'll ask Andrea this one. let's talk about the importance of daily time spent with God. And so I talked about that in my little talk. And what has it looked like for you in different seasons? Because you have little ones. They're getting bigger. And what does it look like currently?
So it is so important. And I came to realize that my days are completely different when I start with God's word and spending time with him. In different seasons, it can be different. I do have small kids right now. So for me, spending time with him, you read a passage, you read Matthew, that says that in him we will find the rest, in him. So it became a priority for me to spend time in him. So I could find that rest. And that meant that my day started different. My answer to my kids were different. To my husband were different. I'm not a morning person, so it really shows when I spend time with him before. So I made that a priority in this season of my life. I can't wake up. I mean, if I wake up and I just step 1 foot, like there, my kids are like, Mom, Mom. So I couldn't. So what I did is I was like, I'm gonna wake early without making any noise. Any noise. I wish I could go downstairs and grab a cup of coffee or read a book. I can't, so I can't move. And then I'm like, okay, I wake up. And I started my time with gratitude. Mm-hmm. With gratitude. What are three things that I'm grateful for? So I wake up and I start there. And then I read my Bible. I present my day to the Lord. Just guide me, help me, through this difficult times. So that's being like that. I love to read books. I love to have a cup of coffee and just read the word. I love all that, but with small kids. Everything was like, I wish I could do that, but I can't. But I wasn't doing anything. I was like, I'm gonna wait until they're a little bit bigger, or I'm gonna wait and time passed. So, yes.
Good. What about you, Luigi?
Quiet time is, yeah, same. Before you go down, just get that in. But I think it's just humbling that it's something that I've just always asked God to meditate upon His word day and night. So going to bed, waking up. So even though there's a practical side to it, it also benefits your soul when you just slide down from your bed and just, it's not the amount of time, but it is just surrendering the day. And do, like you said, Kim, sometimes it's a quick reflection. So not putting that pressure that you have to read this much. So developing a routine where you do have that to start with. So that's my feel. And then you make sure that you're doing all the tune-up and the extra bit to sustain your spiritual walk as God gives you time. And so grateful for that, that God does.
Great. You're the best.
Thank you.
The next question is, what motivates you to choose to be in community with other planters' wives? And can you share an example of a time where you experienced life-giving gospel community within our network? And so, Andreina.
Well, for me, this is so important because I believed the lie that no one was going to understand me because we planted in a multicultural church. So I thought that no one was going to understand what I was going through because we do things differently. So at the moment I thought I was alone. But then, God opened my eyes and I remember receiving an invitation to a NAM. Wives, church planters, wife event, and I was like, I'm gonna give it a try. I don't think they're gonna understand me. I don't think I'm gonna get a lot from it. And the moment I went in, I remember we had Christine Hoover there. And that moment when I heard everyone talking about the same things that I was feeling, when I felt she's understanding what I'm feeling, when I heard the question, I'm like, oh, I won't ask that, but she did good. Let me hear the answer. I remember hearing at that moment that our identity has to become only from God, from the Word of God, and that we have to understand that, because everything around us is going to change. Every season is going to be different, but that won't change. And when it's going to become a moment where we're not going to feel like we're going to feel lost. We're going to be able to go there and find that didn't change. So for me, that was amazing when I heard that, and when I heard her also explaining the life of John the Baptist. He knew what he was here, why he was here, but he also knew why he wasn't here, what his role wasn't. He didn't take anything else. He knew what his purpose was. That's it. For me, also, that became a priority to make this event, this time, this fellowship, number one, because I know that I'm not alone and that we are a family.
Well, time is apparently marching on, so I'm going to go to the next question so that we get through some of them. Cultivating a healthy soul is a journey and not a destination. What does this sentence mean to you, BG?
Yeah, one of my favorite scripture when I look at what it means to be rooted. So for me, health means being rooted. And tree, I mean, God uses the analogy of a tree, a plant. And I go back to Psalm 1, and I'll just read it out to you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. If a healthy soul was a destination, we become a mature tree and we stop there. But our calling is to bear fruit. And if we abide in him, he abides in us. And so for me, I find that just growing spiritually is not the end, but are we bearing fruit in season? And to speak to that, when we started the church plant, I went through multiple miscarriages just as we were planting. And in that season, what Satan would have liked to do was to take that and really to just destroy our joy in serving God. But because of the health, the roots that it is in Christ, we found that God brought us through that and we could still continue to bear fruit in season for his glory. So for me, I think we're never so mature that we can stop abiding in him. We need to, and as long as we are tree rooted by the riverside, we will bear fruit and we will be healthy. And he does say to the Samaritan woman, I give you water, not like the well, but living water. And so that is the evidence of our soul being healthy. And so it really is a journey. And he will bring it to completion at the day of Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
That's great.
What is one action, Laura, that you purposely choose and feels essential for you to cultivate your soul in a healthy way?
Well, the very top one would be that time with God every day, or as almost every day. Yeah, that's just my lifeline. And I have to be mindful because I'm a very regimented and routine person. And so, yeah, so I have to be mindful that that is a meaningful time and not just tick off the box, done, on we go. But that is where God reveals my heart, reveals himself. Yeah, so a good friend of ours taught me how to journal in 19... Oh, I can't even remember. It's a long time ago. It would have been 2000. Anyway, it doesn't matter. 2005. And that has been changed. That's what people say. That has just changed everything because I'm focused. I write my prayers to God and then take the time just to listen. And yeah, I just can't, and it's not me, it's not that, it's just God, and it's just so neat when you're talking about, you know, when Jesus calls us to, you know, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you know, just like, he's like, come sit down, let's talk. I mean, what an incredible picture that is, and when I take that time to sit and talk and listen and just rest and abide, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. So if you were called to plant again, what would you do differently to make sure that you were able to thrive on the journey and not just survive? And anyone can answer.
I think I spent, at the beginning of church planting, I spent so much time trying to fix things instead of going to the source, not naming my emotions, just trying to fix the symptoms and not going to the source. So for me, like John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. So to go to him first instead of thinking that I can fix everything and I can do everything, and ask myself the hard question, am I connected to the vine? Am I connected there? So I would do that differently for sure.
We have 2 minutes. Anybody else want to try?
I would say daily to remember that unless the Lord builds the house, the labor is labor in vain. Because I think we think somehow we have to make it happen, and that it is on us, because like you said, we think that denying ourselves, picking up the cross and following Christ means that we have to do it. But I think God very quickly taught me, it's not about you. It's about me. And I'm going to do this for my glory. Yet he calls us to work, like Paul said, you know, with remembering the grace we received, to work at it with all our heart and our mind and soul and strength, and love him first. And so just daily remembering that he's the one who's building, so rest. I don't have to do anything that he's not moving or doing for his glory.
Amen. Well, I think we will end it there because it was a great time.
Ladies, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the reminder and the new fresh ways that it hits to rest, to spend daily time with the Lord, and to invest in this family together as sisters walking out a church planting journey in whatever role that might be. I just am grateful. And we want to give you a little bit of time. You should have gotten a journal in your packet. It's a little brown journal. And at the end of everything we do here at the Zen Network Gathering, we want to give you some time to reflect. Because I say this is why. I don't know if this is really why. But I think it's because we're really good as planting people to go to things like this and then walk out the door and be really busy, and you know, a week from now you're like, what was that thing again? And so I want to give you a little bit of time. Here's the first question. What did you hear? And so just take a moment. What is God bringing to the top? Maybe what's rising to the top for you and standing out from this time? What did you hear? Okay. I'm going to pray for us. Is that a good trick? Okay. Okay, I want to send you with 2 questions, and then I'm going to pray for us. That was more just a trick to get you this time. 2 more questions for you to use for reflection is, when will you do it? And who might you ask to come alongside you as you do that? Who might you ask for help with that? I know we need to tell multiple people, right? We need to build in some layers of help or accountability or just encouragement. And so as we leave, I hope that those questions will continue, that God will continue to use them in your heart. Let me pray for us as we head to dinner, and then I'll tell you some instructions for dinner. Father, you are good, and unless you build the house, we know that we labor in vain. Would you help us to remember that? Would you help us to remember that we were designed for rest, and that we are not you? In fact, we require rest in order to move forward. And so would you please help us to rest in you, even as we move throughout our day and caring for those around us. You are a good Father. Thank you for the food we are about to receive, all the many blessings that you are pouring onto us in these 2 days together. We are grateful to you for that. It is in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.